Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Believe in Hornets podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. My name is Sam. My co-host Muggsy Bogues is with me. Muggsy, how are you?
What's up, Sam? How you doing, partner?
Things are going pretty well. Things are going pretty well over here.
Yeah.
Cheers to you, by the way.
There you go. Cheers. There we go.
This it's an exciting time right now. A lot of things to cheers right now.
A lot of things to be happy for. Absolutely.
Man, yeah, oh man.
We take it as it comes.
Yes. Yes. Because easy come, easy go, you know?
So, we know that.
So what we're referring to, if you're a Hornets fan and you've been living under a rock, the Hornets are kind of on fire right now. Three-game winning streak in the mix right now. As you're listening to this, the Hornets are taking on the Sixers up next. So recording this Tuesday night, fresh off that Miami Heat overtime victory the previous night. And man, what? Yeah. That's a squad. That's what we want to see from these guys.
It was exciting. It was very exciting. You know, for me, you know, if you want to go into it, but it was exciting. It was, especially with all the elements that was involved, you know, Terry Rozier being out and the guys going on the road, even coming off a big win, you know, after beating Milwaukee, you figure that'd be a little letdown. But no, the energy just was up. Even higher, Melo got his first start. Mm-hmm. You know, so the guys was really energetic in that gym. And anytime Devontae Graham sees Miami in Miami, it seemed like he had good nights. And he had another one that night. And that's what they needed for them to overtake the Heat.
Oh, man. And in the closing minutes there, when Devontae had the ball and they basically cleared out for him. And I was like, Devontae knew he was going to take that shot. Take those shots. The defense knew he was going to take those shots. He took those shots and he made those shots. Yeah, I love that. Love that from him.
And for him, it's great to see, you know, because early on, everybody was concerned about his shooting percentage and him struggling. And, you know, but, you know, a guy like Devontae Graham, he had to get adjusted. New guys coming in, you know, Melo especially. So he kind of, Haywood, more important, more so than anyone, I think. So he had to make that adjustment, you know. Last year, being mentioned, you know, probably one of the most improved players and not getting that award, you know, right there in the runners. But he just had to find his way again. And I think he's starting to find his way. Confidence is building, the shot coming back. And more importantly, it was needed last night.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you mentioned earlier, a lot of storylines going into the game with Terry Rozier. He stepped on, was it Drew Holiday's? One of the Bucks players stepped on his foot. Yeah. Kind of going back on defense and rolled his ankle. He was questionable going into the game. And then closer to tip, he got downgraded to out, which then opened the door for LaMelo to start.
I
wish he was starting under different circumstances. There were times during the Heat game where like, man, I wish we had Terry on the floor because we need some energy, some shooting from distance, especially. But we had Melo starting, which opened up a spot like a minute from a rotation point of view from Malik Monk to take full advantage of. So like the butterfly effect, I guess, of Terry being out opened up things quite a bit. And all the credit in the world to Malik Monk. So I want to save the Monk conversation for a second. I want to talk about LaMelo first because it was his first start, something a lot of fans have been looking forward to. I was looking forward to. He got into foul trouble early. And so we didn't get to see a lot of him in his first start. Still played with the overtime period, 31 minutes, I think, 31 and a half minutes. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, a lot of that time with 4 and 5 fouls. So credit to him for remaining disciplined, not getting that last foul. So Muggsy, when he was on the floor, And if you want to talk about the foul troubles as well, feel free. But like, what's your take on LaMelo Ball's first NBA start?
Well, you know, a lot of fans been asking for this. You know, let's get Melo start. Let's get Melo in the starting lineup. And what I just love with coaching staff, JB coaching staff and them has been doing with them, you know, just bring them along slowly. And not only, but he was forced into the lineup this time, which was, you know, due to T. Rozier injured. He didn't have the best game that everybody, you know, thought that he would have, but he did. And it's a difference when you're out there playing against the first line players. You know, now you don't have an opportunity to see the game from the bench, getting to observe it. Now you're out there in the fire. You know, you got to pretty much, you know, on the spot right there. You got to make those decisions when you're playing against those first string starters. And so it's a little different. But not saying that he can't be a starter going forward, but I just like the way they bring him along. But his presence alone was pretty significant on the floor in the overtime. His presence, you know, being able to get to the floor, he got Bam Adebayo up in the air one time and dished it off to Cody underneath for the dunk, easy dunk. So he still was playing aggressive even though he had those fouls. And I think going forward, it's going to continue to help him. You know, his confidence continue to grow. So I'm looking forward to way coaching them continue to use them. If T. Rozier come back and even go back to the bench, you know, I'm on fine with that. Because again, you look at what's happening with a lot of the rookies right now with Edwards up in Minnesota, Wiseman and Golden State. Those guys are up and down, but they're starters. And, you know, they're not having the best season as Melo. You know, he's pretty much having, even though he's coming off the bench, still having the quite a minutes that they're your average.
Yeah, and to LaMelo's credit, today they announced he's the NBA Rookie of the Month for the Eastern Conference. Then with Tyrese Halliburton on the West Coast, on the Western Conference. So, yeah.
Well deserved.
Toast absolutely. To Melo for earning Not that little. Honor. Yeah, off the bench. He did it off the bench. So, so LaMelo got into foul trouble. It was a bummer because we're all eager to see him play. I was also kind of curious to see, because we, you know, first quarter around the 6 minute mark, he would come in with Bridges, and to see that like relationship kind of split up with the different rotation, I was interested to see how Bridges would perform under that situation because it was new for him as well. Not a bad game, not a great game from him. Pretty quiet, I think, all things considered. But when you have Malik Monk, which was the I don't want to say surprise. At all.
No.
But the spotlight wasn't on him at all. Like, the narrative wasn't surrounding him going into that game. It was all about LaMelo. People were very curious about that. And then Monk stole the show. Man, he had a career high. What was it? 36 points.
36, yeah.
He hit mad career threes. This
year. Yeah.
9 threes he hit on 13 attempts. A madman. Absolute madman. And, I live streamed the games on my YouTube channel, and I was talking to the chat. I was like, it was close. Like, the Hornets were in it the entire time for the most part, and Malik Monk was going off. And I was like, hey, I told the chat, if the Hornets win this game, I'm renaming my dog after Malik Monk. And I went to Petco today, got my dog a new collar, and my dog is now Macho Monk because
Macho Monk?
Malik Monk. Going off. I got the whole thing engraved and everything. We're locked in.
Okay, little Macho Monk. But I tell you, Malik, like you said, it's no surprising to me. You know, he's been doing this even last year. You know, just before the situation with him, he was having an unbelievable season. Coming back this year, warranted. You know, he was the odd man out with Rozier as well as Melo and Haywood. You know, it's only so many minutes for guys to be on the floor. And I'm quite sure Coach JB was talking to him and letting him know this was the situation. But him being a professional, being ready when his number's called, you know, and that's what we do. You know, when you're still knowing you're capable, you're just waiting your opportunity. And he waited his opportunity, came in. And it's not just with that game. It was leading up to this game because he's been pretty much coming in, taking advantage of the minutes that he's been given. And showing what he's capable of doing. He's a scorer. Mm-hmm. Malik can put the ball in the basket. You know, and this is now what, fourth year in the league. And you know, when that time, when you see the lead that many times, you know, your confidence grow. You know, sometimes you wish you were on the floor a lot more than not, but this time he wasn't. And now every time he get on that floor, he making the most of this opportunity. And boy, was it well deserved last night.
Oh man. And just to give everybody kind of a perspective on it, he didn't play at all the first six games of the season. Game seven, he played just under 10 minutes, and then he went four games without playing at all. And then that fifth game in that series, he played 1 minute and 15 seconds, and then 23 minutes, and then back to 4 minutes, and then three games, no appearances. And then 14 minutes, 14 minutes, 23 minutes, and then 40 minutes. What does that do? Like, how do you, as a player, how do you stay locked in? How do you stay ready mentally and physically when you don't know if or how long you'll be on the floor for?
Well, again, that's a testament for, and the credit goes to Malik, man, a professional, because it's a business, you know, and you got to understand that it's about what you can give me today, not what you gave me yesterday. And sometimes you get, you know, moved out of the rotation, and it's sometimes it's communicated with and sometimes it's not. But as a player, you just got to stay ready when they call your number. And that's what he's done. Every time his number's been called, he goes in and display and showcase what he's doing, what he can capable of doing. He can shoot the basketball. He can create his own shot. And that's something that the Hornets continue to need, especially when you're seeing them sharing the basketball and the type of team that they have. And they seem like they're having a lot of fun out there, too. They're enjoying each other. And you can look at, you got, what, six guys in double figures right now, and possibly, you know, two guys on the cusp of being in double figures with Cody and Max. So it's, you could have possibly eight guys in double figures on your roster. I mean, that's contribution right there. So kudos to the coaching staff for keeping the guys ready, and hopefully they can continue to sustain this throughout the season because it's a long one.
Yeah, and we may see a similar kind of, effect, impact from Bridges. So during the Heat game, PJ rolled his ankle. He walked off under his own power, which was nice. That's always encouraging. He's officially out for the next game. Terry is questionable at this point. Okay, but yeah, his official stat, PJ's official status is day to day. So we're looking at the Hornets schedule. So that he's out for the Sixers game. The Hornets have 2 days off before they play the Jazz on Friday. So maybe PJ's back then. But for that Sixers game, if you're Miles Bridges, you got to see, you got to like look at what LaMelo did with the opportunity, look at what Malik did with the opportunity for more minutes, because Bridges is going to get some more minutes really soon. So yeah. What do you want to see from Bridges, and what do you think we'll see from Bridges?
Well, you know, one thing about Miles, he's confidence is really there. He believes in the shot. He believes in his three-point shot. And he believes in his ball handling. I think I like to see him take the ball to the basket a lot more, get to the free throw a lot more, and don't rely on that three-point shooting. When opportunity there, knock it down. But he has the ability to put pressure on the defender by taking the ball to the basket. And he has good vision. If something kind of closes in, he can make that pass. So I wish he, you know, that's my next step for him, being able to get to the free throw line a lot more. And then with this opportunity, if PJ is out, come in and just play your type of basketball. Just be ready, run the floor. Melo gonna find you. Stay aggressive on both ends of the floor. And again, you know, stay aggressive and again, try to get to the free throw line, because you got to mix it up. Got to keep that balance. You know, you got to have that balance. And a player like him, you know, and being on the wing, and for him to bring that type of creativity and that type of balance, along with what Haywood brings, it could be very beneficial for the Hornets.
Yeah, and a friendly warning, a heads up to anyone that does like highlight compilations on Twitter or YouTube: Monk playing more and Bridges playing more with LaMelo, we're gonna see a Lob City 2 situation I'm very excited about. So Eric Collins, get your like Ricolas and like throat lozenges ready. He's going to be screaming his lungs out with those guys playing more. I'm very excited for it.
Yeah, but then and then the guys on the bench got to step up because, you know, that's where, you know, the you won't hopefully the downfall don't come because Melo and Miles been providing that punch off the bench.
Yep.
With that, but now with Monk, you know, getting that opportunity and him and Caleb probably, you know, be the two now, be the first two to come off. They'll be probably looking to be Miles and Melo in a different light in terms of one on the defense with Caleb and Malik continue to put the ball in the basket.
Yeah, and you know, just look, staying with the rotation, we'd be remiss not to talk about Cody Zeller. Since he's been back as a starter, I've been very impressed with Cody. And I'm not just talking about him dunking on Giannis, which big salute. Love that. That's a mad one from Cody. I love that from him.
That's something I'm quite sure you're going to tell his kids and grandkids.
Oh, he needs to. Yeah, he I don't. First line of the bio, dunked on Giannis. So yeah, Cody's been playing very well, I always gotta remember to say both. Cody Zeller has been playing very well, which means Bismack has been, we haven't seen much of him lately. So I'm not sure. I think Caleb may get some more run where we wanna go smaller to kind of backfill the Bridges position. So, and I don't know. Biz has put in a shift as a fill-in at the starting five. I'm curious, though, how his playtime kind of fleshes out the rest of the year. Is he emergency? Is it just like if Cody's ever in foul trouble? I have no confidence he'll be ready whenever his number's called. Right. But I'm just like a little curious about that because I did like what I saw from Biz.
Yeah, but Cody gives you a little more. Not taking anything away from Biz, but Cody gives you a little more versatility. He's capable of knocking down a three ball. So he brings and stretches the defense out a little more, even though they don't really honor in that, but they do bring him, you know, they do contest when he's there. But he's Mr. Intangible, as I always say. He's going to do the dirty work. He's going to do, you know, offensive rebound. I mean, he is probably third in the league right now with offensive rebounds, him and Biz being an average about two a game. And that's what you need from him, running the floor. The stuff that he does, it probably don't show up in the stats sheet. You know, diving on for loose balls, defending, making guys alter at times. So he brings a lot of diversity, you know, to the lineup. And that's what I'm quite sure Coach JB sees in Cody. He's not that shot blocker. But, you know, Ben's probably more that of him, but he brings another element to the table that allows the guys to play a little more freely and it's showcased in terms of when they're out there on the floor.
Mm-hmm. And looking forward now, well, I guess not looking forward, going backwards in time, looking at the stretch of games that we just went through, the Pacers, the Bucks, the Heat, I thought it is. Those are really tough opponents, still are. I didn't expect to win three of those four games. And so let's go yeah. Hornets, you know what I mean? But the Sixers are the best team in the Eastern Conference. I think they're my picks to come out of the East and play the Lakers most likely in the finals. So this is a big dog opponent here. Like even with the Heat, Jimmy Butler, I know he's just got back from injury. I think he had COVID at one point. He's just getting involved again. At one point, he was on one, like about to take the game over, and the Hornets stopped him. They forced him to pass the ball off to other players. Iguodala was taking shots. Avery Bradley was taking threes. Like, that's where we wanted to be. So salute for the Hornets for like making that adjustment. But we got Doc Rivers and a big Sixers team on Wednesday. So Muggsy, what do you think about that matchup for the Hornets? And really going forward, we have the Jazz. It gets a little easier. Jazz gonna be tough. Wizards and Rockets and Grizzlies again. So it's gonna be one of these, I think, the rest of the way. Is that fair?
Well, I mean, it's fair. It's fair to say. I mean, the Jazz is one of the elite teams that's out there, and the Wizards are going through their ups and downs as well as the Rockets. So that's fair to say. Philly is a different animal, especially with Embiid. It's hard to try to get away with playing small ball against him, especially the way Doc Rivers has been playing. This is a different Embiid we're about to witness. You know, we haven't seen this type of mindset type of and be, you know, what we've been seeing, you know, the previous years because of the coaching of him now. You see he's been mentioned as possibly being the MVP, mm-hmm. you know, because of the way his play has been displayed night in and night out. He got him all over the place, closer to the basket more often than not. I mean, more often than so. Even though he's still shooting a three, but he's closer to the basket and he's making plays. What we got to do, we got to hopefully, you know, we got to make our shots. We got to make our shots. We got to continue to, you know, spread the floor, continue to make threes. I think the more threes we make, the better it is for us. And we can do that. And we got to contest those guys on their threes because they got some pretty good shoes over there within Seth Curry and Danny Green, as well as Melton. So they've been doing some pretty dabs. Tobias Harris as well. Mm-hmm. So we can't leave those out. And now, you know, Ben Simmons, even though he's not the shooter, he's a very, you know, handful to be dealing with. Being, you know, able to create for others as well to get to the basket. So it's going to be a challenge for the guys. But it's, again, you said we beat some teams that weren't expected. You know, we got some good wins on the resume. The Brooklyn Nets.
Yep.
You know, early on, Dallas Mavericks. Then you come up with Milwaukee, Indiana, or Miami. So, you know, we understand what good teams look like. And it's all about how we come to play and how the Hornets come to play. like I'm out there.
You suit up. Yeah.
Yeah. Like how the Hornets come to play and how they're able to handle them on, you know, that defense side of the end as opposed to offense.
Yeah. So, I'm kind of glad they're playing the Sixers next because it makes a great segue into our next topic, point guards in the NBA. We have a very qualified person to talk about it, so let's talk about it. Ben Simmons, this isn't meant to be Ben Simmons specific, but he's one of, I think, pretty controversial, I guess, point guard. People get on him for shooting ability. You have that on one hand, but you have the like next world defensive ability that he has. And this is insane ability to get to the rim. So, Muggsy, what do you look for in a point guard nowadays as you're flipping through the channels and watch these guys play? Like, what qualities look out for? Who around the league kind of stands out to you, so to speak? Mm-hmm. And who is there anyone out there that people aren't talking about that should be talking about?
Well, I mean, you know, leadership for me stands out. You know, your skill set, making others around you better, as well as being able to get yours. And we got some good ones and able to do that. We got the Steph Curry, the Chris Pauls of the world. And I go all the way down to Mike Conley. You know, even like Mike Conley, you know, his ability to be able to utilize his skill set.
Yeah, I think he's underappreciated for sure.
Absolutely underappreciated. You know, then you look at a young guy, and a Trae Young, you know, Trae Young, the up and comings, the guys that now being able to see how to play the point position, you know, Damian Lillard stands out as well. He's one of the guys that stretches the game, being able to get his guys involved, but at the same time, you know, not being highly drafted, being able to make something up himself to become the star he is. Now, looking those type of qualities, you know, you mentioned Ben Simmons. I like Ben. Ben got to continue to work on his shot because he got to be a threat to keep the team balanced in order for him to be the I'm quite sure, the star or the player that he really wants to be. So those guys I really look at. And then you look at the young guys that's coming in now, the Mellows. You know, Mello brings he brings the total package. You know, he reminds me of a Jason Kidd and a Penny Hardaway, basically. The height with Hardaway, I mean, with Penny, mm-hmm. Being able to see it, but the ability to see the floor and pass J.K., you know, and having that ability to understand the game at this young age, 19. But, you know, you give him by being over there and a year of, and, you know, professionally having an opportunity to play, but seeing his mindset in terms of how he has a feel for the game, you know, and how you're able to get other guys involved. And then, of course, you know, your showmanship you have in the Kyrie Irving. You know, Kyrie is one of the guys that showcase the game. I mean, showcase a must-see TV, but at the same time, he elevates his empire, his teammates, and at times. But he not, sometimes the leadership don't come there, but you know, the way he wants to lead by example shows up. So, you know, those are the guys that really stand out for me when I'm watching the NBA. You know, so I can go on about the punk guards and Westbrooks.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
That's my thing there. I love those guys, you know, because they were, and then looking at young guys, Colin Sexton in Cleveland.
Yeah.
You know, bring what he's often, you know, now that I'm seeing a little bit more of a maturity, you know, what he brings. So the lead is well set with the point guard position because these guys are really showcasing what true punk guards mean to a team, and it's an extension of a coach, and that's what you show.
And just from like looking at the lay of the land and the depth in that position in the NBA currently, how does that compare, do you think, to when you played? Like, were there this many good point guards when you were playing? Or is that
NBA always had great point guards, and that's where it starts. You start from your point guards to your center. That's how you build your team. You know, that's how they built it, you know, and then you had the MJ came in and everybody kind of had to match up with the two guards because it became a trend. So, but you look at now, it's totally different now, you know, because of skill sets. You know, you don't have the four or the five or positions these days.
Yeah.
You just got guys that who got certain type of skills. We had the Mark Price. We had the Isaiah Thomas. We had the Tim Hardaway, the Gary Paytons, you know, the Fatty Leavers, the Stricklands, you know, I can go on and on that type of point guard that we had in the league that was scoring point guard. So it's a little different today, yeah, because of the openness of the court and the lack of physicality of the game. But we always had guards that scored, but it was kind of more of a not so much more noticeable in terms of those are the one that takes over the game in today's game, as opposed to the big man.
Yeah, because look, like every team has an above average player in that position, where you may not have that at your three or four necessarily. Like everyone seems to have a point guard, as for a good reason. Obviously, they're pushing the entire offense.
That's what you start your franchise with, you know, point guard and center. It used to be point guard center, but point guard and that wing guy now. That wing guy's that one that Jason Tatum's because it's not LeBron James. So it's always a trend. And when it was MJ, you know, so there's always a trend how they kind of, you know, go at it in state game. It's that wing guy that kind of become that staple of the how you become winning championships.
Yeah. Anyone out there remind you of you game wise?
Ain't no 5'3" out there. A guy that I can see, you know, you got a little kid now in UMBC in Maryland, about 5'4" or 5'2", Donte Rogers. Uh-huh. But I wish, you know, I wish the little fella can, you know, bring a little more to the table on the defense then. But he's a dynamic player. If anybody get an opportunity to see him, please do. You know, Donnell Rogers, you know, he's 5'3". I give it to him. He say 5'4", but he's 5'2".
Hey.
You know, stocky like I was. And, he's a heck of a player, too.
Awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
Great. I think that's everything we had on our agenda for this podcast. Muggsy, is there anything else you want to bring up before we say goodbye to the people?
Well, let me see what's up there in today's world right now that's getting a lot of attention.
Well, Jeff Bezos just stepped down.
He did?
Yeah, I just saw that on Twitter a little bit ago. So,
okay.
There's going to be some ripple effects there.
Yeah, yeah. Besides that type of news. But, you know, other than, you know, people getting vaccinated and, you know, hopefully that, you know, the elderly's can really, you know, find a lot more resources and a lot more places where they can't get it, that first or second shot to where we can, you know, start to move on to the next people, you know, football line so we can get closer and closer to get some type of normalcy. So I'm still hopeful.
Yeah, it's got a hope for the best. I can't wait. Can't wait for my turn to get vaccinated. I'm so here for it.
Yeah, I'm not. I know they can't wait to get back in the arena too. See the deciding team right now. And I tell you, man, can you imagine the arena right now?
Oh man, I was telling people on the live stream that Bucks game would have been amazing to go to anyway. get to see Giannis in person, right? Just you knowing that already. It was 8 o'clock on a Saturday night. Are you kidding me? Would have been perfect. And then the game starts and it goes the way it went. And when I think we had a Melo to Miles lob in that game. And then later the Zeller dunk over Giannis. Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine how loud that building would have been after Zeller dunked on Giannis.
I tell you, that's what
I got goosebumps thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Soon. Positive thoughts. Soon come.
Yes, sir.
We'll be there. Yeah, I appreciate everyone coming through and checking out the Believe in Hornets podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I've been Sam. That's Muggsy. Peace.
Peace.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.